In the contemporary art world, Charlie Lucas is known as the Tin Man. The Alabama native creates his collage-like sculptures by picking up what others have discarded and turning them into something new. The visionary folk artist has spent the last several years telling his family's history through his art. NPR's Debbie Elliott takes us to his new exhibit at the Rosa Parks Museum in Montgomery, Alabama. It's called In the Belly of the Ship.
Bicycle wheels, broomsticks, hose pipe, car doors, tires, telephone wire. Charlie Lucas transforms these old scraps of life into art.
It's like a baby being born again.
A tall man with a warm smile and salt and pepper hair, Lucas spends a lot of time in junkyards or just walking along the side of the road near his home in Selma, looking for what others have tossed aside. Sometimes when we walk in the world, he says, we forget to pick up the small things that are the pieces of who we are.
And I want people to see the beauty that lies inside a person's heart with colors, with scrap things that all he had in his whole life were just things that was broken and discarded, even myself. So this is not only just about in the belly of the ship. This is what come out of the ship. This is what's left of my great-great-great-great-grandfather. What's left.
His great-great-grandfather was a slave, and for generations his family has labored in southern sugarcane and cotton fields. This exhibit tells their story, dating from Africa, through the struggle for civil rights, and on to the future when God is calling him home.
My whole concept of this is showing not only the slave ship itself, it's showing that how man progressed from that oppressing part of itself. His working schedule, his way he introduced with colors, the way that he handled himself by saying yes ma'am and no ma'am, his way of looking at the world and say the world is bigger than me.
There are 28 pieces in the show, paintings and sculptures, some a combination of the two, all welded and nailed together from Lucas's collection of scraps. Pieces of our culture, when they brought them over, is made from a large rectangular sheet of corrugated tin. On either side are two masks cut from the tops of cast iron roasting pans. They're separated by a white horse and fence with different colored wires and pieces of insulator stretching between the two.
This is when they brought the kids over. That's when they took the greenness from they found. As you see the green pipes down at the bottom, and as they brought them across the sea, it left a sea of bones.
Each piece is layered with meaning.
And the green host going that way, that means the food they ate. It's like that they had the pureness of everything. If they wanted something to eat, they just went out and got the natural herbs and fixed it. But when they got over here, they didn't give them plates because they didn't know how to eat out of plates. They fed them in troughs. They fed them in a trough just the way you would feed a pig or something.
Other pieces are titled Sharecroppers, the Underground Railroad, pieces of men's, and my grandfather's children.
This piece right here is called Aunt Betsy.
It's a full-length statue of his great-aunt, now an angel with a dust mop handle as a magic wand.
She ran a juke joint. She shot dice. She drank corn whiskey. She could cuss sideways and backwards. So, and then when she passed, I seen her coming back to me as an angel with strength.
She has on high-top Converse tennis shoes and old-fashioned stockings rolled down around her ankles. Her black skirt is made from a mailbox.
The eyes are made from an electric stove. The hair is made from a refrigerator rack. But see, if you think about what I'm saying, all that contains something. The skirt was the mail. The refrigerator was the coolness of her. So all that gave me something with that moi taste to it. And then I ball up a lot of stuff to go up in Titusville because I figured she had medicine and all kinds of tricks in that part of herself.
Lucas says he tried to honor all his ancestors, who he says are his biggest influences. His mother is a quilt maker and his father was a mechanic. His grandfather was a basket weaver. His great-grandfather was a blacksmith and made wagon wheels. All pieces of a distant culture.
They kept up with it the best they could. And so that's why I call it pieces. Because my great-grandfather, when I seen him do the blacksmith work, he would do his chanting songs, and then I asked him, I said, what come next? He said, I only got that part. Said, I don't remember. Said, they hummed through the rest of it. So he let me know that he only had so many pieces of what he had to offer me.
Lucas was one of 14 children and says he was always the loner, the one in the backyard tinkering with things.
But you come back there and I had all kind of whirligigs and spaceships and stuff. I couldn't play hopscotch. I couldn't play basketball or any of those kind of things. But you give me a piece of wire and sticks and some nails and a hammer, I could build something.
He dropped out of school in the fourth grade. Instead, he spent time fishing or scrounging through dump sites for found objects to make things from. Work wasn't for him either.
As I went in the fields to work, they said, oh, we don't want you to make something from the product. We want you to pick it. And so I ended up being a babysitter because I always made something from the product that we was picking. And people didn't want you to do that. They wanted you to put it in a basket or a sock or something.
As an adult, Lucas worked construction as a mechanic and a hospital janitor. But a back injury in 1984 put him out of commission. That's when he woke up with $10 in his pocket and decided to make his recycled art.
And that's been my best crop of my life that I ever grown in my life because, I mean, I have 5 acres of art. And each piece is totally different from the other one.
Much of his work he attributes to visions from God that come in his sleep.
A lot of times through my dream, I know when something is truly rolling over in my art, because this come to me in one night. All of this come to me in one night, and it was just like two big old freight train crashing together, and then it scattered all of these pieces out.
In the corner of the exhibit hall sits a bronze statue of Rosa Parks. She's sitting on a bus seat, holding her purse in her lap, and appears to be gazing at the powerful art surrounding her. This year marks the 50th anniversary of the Montgomery bus boycott, the seminal civil rights event launched when Parks was too tired to give up her seat to a white man. Georgette Norman is director of the Troy University Rosa Parks Museum. She says Lucas's exhibit is timely.
The boycott was really about empowerment. It's really people empowering themselves to do what needed to be done. When we look at this show, it's about Charlie who empowered himself to look back and to look back at the kinds of things that most of us don't look at as being important. Seriously, where we come from, you know, what we've left behind, what we probably need to pick up, and our responsibility, you know, this is our legacy.
Some critics have likened Lucas's work to art from the Congo. He's had shows throughout the U.S. and in France, but he says this exhibit is special.
This is my most happy moment in my life, that I can see all of this energy going out into the world now. It's not in the backyard. It's not even in the belly of the ship no more.
Charlie Lucas's exhibit, In the Belly of the Ship, is on display through February at the Rosa Parks Museum in Montgomery. Debbie Elliott, NPR News.